we are faithless. Because he often has to say to us, as he said to Peter, when Peter was sinking in the sea and the Lord reached out and took his hand, where is your faith? And I think that's something God asks us often. Let me read for you the portion of Scripture in Revelation, and then I want to put it into a bit of context very quickly. I don't want to take a lot of time here. These are, to me, these speaking opportunities are not for the purpose of doing a lot of instructing. It's for the purpose of giving you one thing that you'll hang on to and not forget. If you hang on to the fact that your God is the God of battles, the God of armies, the God of victory, that'll be enough for here. But here's the future. Revelation 16, verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. Literally, the kings from the rising of the sun. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and the mouth of the beast and the mouth of the false prophet. There's your unholy trinity. Three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments that he may not walk naked and men may not see his shame. How do you keep your garments? Your garments reflect your faith. The white robe is the robe of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And verse 16 says, and they, the demons, gathered them, the kings. They gather the kings together to a place in the Hebrew which is called Armageddon, or Armageddon, as we say. This is the final battlefield. When you're up on top, you'll look at this vast valley around you. Both Napoleon and Alexander stood on that hill and said this would make the greatest battlefield on the face of the earth. This is where the great final battle is fought. And it's going to be the forces of the world coming from as far as the kings of the east, the king of the north, the king of the west, the king of the south coming together, and there's one prize they're all fighting for. And what is it? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. God said, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone that is too burdensome for the nations. And we see that happening. With a little country like a postage stamp like Israel, why is it the whole world is focused on this place? Because this is the land of God. This is the place He chose of all the places of the earth, and He will ultimately set His throne in this land. Now, to put this into a little bit of context, turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus speaks of the before and after. What happens before the battle and what happens after the battle? Matthew 24. Jesus gives us a little build-up in verses 4 to 8. Conditions that are going to exist on the earth. The disciples are asking when all these things are going to happen. And he says, see that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. We have them all over the world. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. I want you to latch on to these two things that he says. Number one, don't let anyone deceive you. Number two, don't be afraid. Those are your two greatest dangers in life. Deception and fear. They always go together. He says the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, it's interesting. Not until my generation or our generation did we hear the word used, ethnic strife. The world now is filled with ethnic strife. That's the word he uses for nation, ethnos. Ethnos against ethnos. Ethnos kata ethnos. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. And in many places you will hear of famines and earthquakes, but these things are only the beginning of the birth pangs. Birth pangs, of course, come closer and closer together, greater and greater intensity. We see the world entering into ever-increasing cycles of natural disaster and warfare. That's what he's talking about. But what is the purpose of birth pangs? The purpose of birth pangs is to bring forth. And these birth pangs are going to lead to the great victory that we're looking at here. And this victory is not going to be won by man. It's going to be won when the King comes. And He will win the victory. With the sword of His mouth, He will speak and slay His enemies. And Revelation 14, I won't turn to it, but Jesus is seen descending and defeating His enemies, and the blood fills this place like a wine press. We saw the wine press. You saw how they, or the olive press, the wine press, same idea, how they crush the olive and the oil runs out. And it's going to run from this valley through the valley of Jezreel. And Revelation 14 said the blood will run to the bridles of the horses. It's going to be an awesome battle. Horrendous battle. But it's a battle of the victory of God over His enemies. And then if you'll just notice for me, verse 29. Because to me, this is really what we want to focus on, is the aftermath. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Could I just call your attention to the fact that though Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, true God in human flesh, He still chooses the title of humility. Son of Man. The Son of Man will come. And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together His chosen, His elect, from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, He says, learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see these things, recognize that He is near even at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And then He concludes by saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. There are only two times in the New Testament where Jesus ever said, this generation will not pass. The first time He referred to His generation, He said, this generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. And within that generation, 70 AD, we had Titus coming down with a 10th legion, surrounding Jerusalem and destroying the city. The second time He used it was of our generation. I do believe that we are that generation. I don't have time to go into all the reasons why I believe that. But we see the birth pangs. We see the nation against nation. We see the increasing cataclysmic forces that are taking place on our earth. And we know that it's building towards something. And that something relates to the site on which you find yourselves today. The Har Megiddo, the mount or the hill of Megiddo, the place of the final battle. What does all of this mean to us? Number one, we need to make sure that we're in faith. We need to make sure that we have been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And number two, if we are His people, what do we have to fear? Why do we give in? And I'm speaking to myself. I'm as guilty as anyone here. So many times when God reduces me and brings me down and humbles me and breaks me, I want to do just like we all do. Where is God? Why is He letting this happen? Why can't we learn from the entire history, the story from beginning to end, that He reduces us down so we become small enough that when He wins the victory He has already planned to win, all the glory will belong to Him. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the God of armies. He is the God of victory. Let's always remember that. Let's close in prayer. Father, each one of us here fight our own battles. The history of mankind is a history of warfare. And yet, Father, we recognize that there are wars that are worthy of being fought, and there are wars that oftentimes we fight because of our own confusion or poor decisions or the wrong paths that we take. I'm reminded, Father, of how Abigail met David as he was on his way to kill Nabal, and how she wisely reminded him that there were battles that should be fought and battles that should not be fought. And she reminded him that he was to fight the battles of the Lord so that the Lord could fight his battles. What a difference, Father, it would make for each one of us gathered here if we learned that to make the choice to always be engaged in your business, to always be doing the things you have called us to do, that is to fight your battle. And when we commit ourselves as a soldier of the cross of Christ to fight your battles, we never need to worry about our own. You will fight and win those battles for us. How I pray that you'll impress this on our minds and engrave it on our hearts, and let us leave this place with a conviction that we truly are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And that every event or circumstance or condition of life that reduces us and breaks us down and makes us weak is only because out of our weakness we're made strong, and it's through our weakness you display the sufficiency of your grace. Help us remember these things, we pray, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.